Welcome to episode 101 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levesine, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Minus the rotating panel of guests this week as we return to review corners, and that's usually just Brent and myself. That is all I have to say about this topic. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levesine, and welcome to episode 101 of Comic Timing. And yes, there is an episode that came out after 100. We didn't just disappear. Aren't you surprised, Mr. Co-host, not co-host, co-host, Brent Cassina?
I am surprised, very much so. I'm glad 100 finally came out, but yeah. I guess your move had a lot to do with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and, you know, being back in New York, I really didn't want to do anything but nothing. I was enjoying my vacation, man. I slept in. I hung out with peeps. I made fun of Raph. Noticed. You know, it was good times. It was good times.
We noticed.
Oh, really? You noticed, huh?
I didn't notice. I'm sure the listeners did. Would, because he's the one who always harps on us about being late or whatever. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's true though. He puts us in our place exactly what he should. So you know, and we're putting out with episodes. This is 101. It's a review corner. It's a catch up review corner, as most of them are these days. As we've got a large pile of books here to review. Just looking through it right here, we got Dr. Horrible number 1, Dark Horse Comic, Blackest Night, Rebels number 10, JSA All Stars number 1. Secret Warriors 11, Captain America Reborn number 5 of 6, motherfuckers, and Conan number 1, Conan, The Weight of the Crown one shot by Derek Robertson. And the cursing on Captain America Reborn is because we initially picked that thinking it was going to be 5 of 5, and then they added another issue. So we're just going to be talking about, I guess, this filler issue. And why don't we just start with that, okay? But just to get it out of the way, Captain America Reborn number 5 of 6, because I didn't like it very much. And I mean, that's sort of like how I've been feeling about a lot of what's been going on with Captain America Reborn. Is the whole why are we bringing Steve back in the first place? Because I like Bucky. He's been doing a good job as Cap. Brubaker seems to enjoy writing him, and now all of a sudden, you know, hey, he's time lost, oh, he's back, wow, that's great, fantastic. Oh, Red Skull wound up in his body, so of course there's going to be the mindless fight, and we know he turns out okay, because Marvel Comics have already told us so, due to all the frickin' delays, so it seems sort of pointless to me right now. What do you think, Brent?
I think it's silly. Captain America 602 comes out this Wednesday, mm-hmm. on the 20th.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because Captain America Reborn 6 hasn't even come out.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows when that comes out? End of the month or something, I think. But
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, this series, you're right. I didn't like it either.
Well, it's not even that I didn't.
It just felt lackluster.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, it's not that I didn't like parts of it. I mean, certain aspects of it have been gelling for me. You know, I do like some of the character moments we've been getting out of Steve Rogers. You know, time lost and going through his life again, and you know, being able to hide that message inside of the Vision was pretty cool. You know, a couple issues ago, but other than the select moments, the entire. You know, miniseries as a whole just doesn't feel substantial to me, and that's what you need when you're bringing back a big character.
Well, it felt... I don't understand why they put this in another miniseries. I think this would have done great for Cap sales, mm-hmm. to put it in the regular Cap book.
Right.
You know, you got Brian Hitch jumping on as artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're telling the return of Steve Rogers, and... You know, you could have taken longer than you really needed to. If he really wanted 6 issues, it would not have been a problem because you just could have put it in the next issue of Cap.
Yeah.
But because he needed 6 issues and not just 5, because, you know, when we picked this 3 months ago, there was only 5 issues. And then soon after we picked it and Heroes Corner gave you the discount and everything, it just became 6 issues and we were like, fuck, fuck, motherfucker.
Smoking weed. Well, and that, and you know, I mean, this is falling into the same sort of thing that Flash Rebirth is, which amusingly enough added an extra issue to it, and now
yes.
We're waiting for that issue to come out, and that's going to be coming out in, you know, God knows how long. I mean, that's what, 6 issues in 12 months,
something like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's not nearly as much of a delay with Captain America Reborn, but still, when you solicit something as 5 issues and you need to go to a sixth, that says to me that Brubaker was unable to, you know, condense the story properly. You know, like, I mean, this issue felt like it should have had an ending. You know, this issue felt like it could have been condensed to 5 or 6 pages, and I would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff with Reborn for me just doesn't – I don't get any excitement out of the issues, really.
Yeah.
Because you know Steve Rogers is coming back. Any cliffhanger in this book is not really a cliffhanger to me. It just kind of ends. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel necessary. I'm almost considering dropping the regular Cat book once this is over.
Really? Wow.
I mean, for me, I liked the big long arc of Bucky becoming Cap.
Yeah,
that was great.
Right, same here.
Once he became Cap, though, the series kind of lost its focus for me. I don't know if that was art or just story. I mean, there was some good stuff, but like the Batroc the Leaper story did not grab me at all.
Uh-huh. Well,
and then this thing starts up, and yeah, it's interesting, but I mean, Steve Rogers coming back. I mean, I like Bucky, but I just don't know. And then it felt like some of these things in this issue, like the fight scene, especially at the end, is just one panel of the fight. Like the fight between Cap and the Red Skull in his mind, mm-hmm. literally one page.
Right.
You know, and then the fight with Bucky and Red Skull on the steps, you know, a few panels. You know, the super MODOKs for killing superheroes.
Oh, that was brilliant, though.
That was a highlight of the issue, yeah. But, I mean, it's there for 3 panels.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like, okay, if you're going to make this 6 issues, why not spread some of this stuff out?
No, I agree. Yeah.
You know, because the fight – well, okay, well, I must have skipped a page or so, but the fight between Cap and Red Skull in his mind does span out before initial pages, but – to me, that's the important fight.
Yeah.
And in this issue, it felt like the more important fight, at least story-wise, mm-hmm. was the fight between Bucky and Red Skull Cap.
Yeah.
And not Cap and Red Skull in his mind. I felt like that should have taken center stage, and we should have seen the Bucky thing last, because that's the one where you can always catch up later.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And if Steve Rogers is supposed to be the star of this series, which... you know, and when it's called Captain America Reborn, you would expect him to have the substantial meat of it. And if there's this fight going on inside of his head, shouldn't we be at least feeling as if it's a fight and not as if it's just, you know, him flicking the Red Skull and then all of a sudden getting control back?
Well, I mean, go to the second to last page in the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You have Red Skull and Steve Rogers looking out into the window of Bucky's mind or Cap's eyes or whatever it is. And it's these weird, crazy lines and stuff, and no one's ever going to hear you. You get a shot of a skyscraper, because mm-hmm. this is my day, the day you die.
Yeah.
That should be the cliffhanger, not the last page.
Mm-hmm.
Great as it is, Cap falling out the window or whatever the hell is going on should have been the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know, that's the tension moment, not Bucky dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just a lot of this series felt – just feels different to me. Feels wrong. It feels like it should be bigger than what it is.
Okay. Well, do you feel that that they're
– maybe I'm saying that it should be bigger than what it is because it's in a separate miniseries.
Right.
But if this just was Captain America 606,
mm-hmm.
I would be like, great issue of Cap.
Well, and
this is is similar in tone with the rest of the Cap series.
Okay, but
it almost feels like and I'm rolling on here over you, I know that, but it almost feels like Brubaker didn't enhance the story enough for its own miniseries. You just kinda went,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is what I was gonna do. It's in a miniseries now, I'm not gonna change much.
Yeah.
And it just kinda feels like it's not that special.
Okay, do you feel that in your head you might be subconsciously, and I mean, I might be doing the same thing here, subconsciously comparing this to what happened with Batman RIP and Batman Battle for the Cal. Because the same sort of thing happened where the Bat book stopped, and then we got Battle for the Cal, and then we got the quote-unquote relaunch, well, you know, which had the new books and everything, and that's sort of what's going on here, because Captain America's own book stopped for this miniseries. You know, we've got the Who Will Wield the Shield, and then we're back to Captain America. So it's a similar, you know, aspect to it, and I'm really grooving on what's going on in Batman right now. And yeah, Batman's also time lost. So you've got very similar plots, you've got very similar situations, and you've got very similar execution going on with DC and Marvel. So could it be that what's going on in Batman is the reason that we were expecting something huge here?
I don't know. Explain to me what you feel about that question.
Well,
because I'm kind of confused right now. What are your feelings on that?
Okay, well, my feelings are that, you know, DC made it an event, you know, because not only were there quote-unquote cancellations of books and the miniseries, and then, you know, the whole, battle for the cow and everything, once that was over and said and done, we had replacement Batman, and we had replacement Robin, and now eventually we're going to get Batman's return in a miniseries, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all while that's going on, we're pretty certain that even though Batman will be back, that those characters are still going to be around, you know? And that they're still going to be able to go through their own growth and stuff like that. But with Captain America here, with Captain America Reborn, I'm not so certain that Bucky is going to still be around 6 months from now. I'm not so certain with that, because
he may die in Siege.
Right. I mean, do we really need two Caps? I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean,
I don't think so. Absolutely
right,
not.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing of asking, do we need two Batman? No. Chances are Dick Grayson will wind up going back to being Nightwing or being something else. But, you know, I could sort of see more viable two Batman and two Captain Americas.
I think I'm not comparing it to Battle for the Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was something where rest in peace or RIP. We still don't know what RIP stands for, curiously enough. But
Reese's in pieces.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Okay.
That was in the regular series, and that was just craziness. It was Grant Morrison. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It had great moments in there.
Oh yeah.
But not great enough moments that it justified it being its own miniseries. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Battle for the Cowl, you know, was a lackluster one, mm-hmm. but it had some good moments. But I understand why they moved that from the Batman book.
Sure.
Because they had a dramatic reshifting of the Batman universe post Battle for the Cowl and mm-hmm. everything. So it made sense to pull that out and cancel stuff. You know, you had a line change up here.
Yeah.
With the Cap books, there's no change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no change. I don't understand the decision to pull this out of the actual Cap series. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more comparing it to, you know, talking about Reborn, Rebirth. I'm more comparing it to Green Lantern Rebirth and Flash Rebirth.
Oh God.
You know, obviously, Green Lantern Rebirth is a story that you can throw out there. And you know, Ian, you know some great moments in that series.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
You know, those six issues were jam-packed of great moments.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle returning with the body, Green Arrow using the Green Lantern ring, you know, the whole Parallax revelation.
Yeah.
It dramatically changed the Green Lantern universe forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the return of a character who had been away for a long time.
Right.
You know, Flash Rebirth has some great moments. It's not as good as Green Lantern Rebirth, but
it's a return, certainly, just like you were saying. Yeah,
it's a return of a character from a long absence. Mm-hmm. You know, some great moments in there. I just recently reread the last five issues, becoming Black Flash, Reverse Flash coming back. You know, the last two issues are really good.
Mm-hmm.
As far as moments wise, maybe not as dramatic yet so far. Maybe they will be in the future. We don't know.
Maybe,
but you know, but still, it's a dramatic change for that line of books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this, just for them to pull these six issues out of the story and just stop it, I don't understand it at all. Because
yeah.
It doesn't yield in a dramatic change of the Captain America line
mm-hmm.
or the Captain America title.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when we're all said and done with this, Captain America is still going to be written by Ed Brubaker.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are still probably going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, again, minus Bucky, because like I said, I'm not quite certain that Bucky's still going to be around in one form or another. I mean, I want him to be, because I liked Winter Soldier before this, and I like him as Cap now. I was enjoying it. I'd rather not be there. I kind of like for Black Widow to go away because how that, like, does she have a teleporter or something? I mean, because she's in everything and she's everywhere, and that's
she's
really
the new
confusing.
Wolverine.
Yeah, basically, she's in every book, you know. And that's
she's in this. She's in Invincible Iron Man. She's mm-hmm. in she's one of the Avengers books, I think, too.
Yeah, she was in one of her own books.
She's got her own main, ongoing coming out in
yeah.
2 months, too.
Yep.
Damn.
She was in Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's been all over the Marvel Universe, all while this Captain America stuff is going on, and that's been kind of awkward to me. But, you know, it's still basically going to be a Captain America story once this is finished. And, I mean, I really don't know, like, even what I want out of this right now. I just want it to be over with so we can just move on.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, Brian Hitch's art and Butch Geist's art was very nice.
I'm glad they put Butch Geist on him.
Yeah.
I think Brian Hitch works really well with an inker.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he works well without an inker, too. I mean, it's just, it takes him a long time to do it. I think I saw in the latest Fantastic Four solicits that Eagle Sham's coming back, and I think they're putting an inker on him.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You know, just take the edge off a little bit. I mean, these labor-intensive guys, I still say Ethan Van Sciver needs an inker.
Yeah.
Put Prentice Rollins back on him. He did a great job on Rebirth. Looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just these guys who want to ink their own stuff, you can't do it and be a monthly artist.
Yeah, I mean...
You can't do it. Unless you're a guy like Derek Robertson, and we'll cover him later. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just a little bit different approach. But these super detailed guys, I'm sorry, you can't ink your own stuff.
Yeah,
be on time.
Yeah, even Derek is not monthly. I mean, he does take three issues off at a time on the boys. So, you know, I mean...
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And in fact, sometimes it's not exactly three, sometimes it's two. But mm-hmm. I know that there has been another artist that has done at least seven or eight issues of the boys to give them either a skip month or 2 months over time. But... It's not often, at least, but I mean, we all know with Brian Hitch that Brian Hitch has a history of being late. So
he's greatly improved.
Yes,
I don't know what the hell happened on Ultimates 2, but he's put a lot of books out recently,
yeah.
And that's good. That's yeah. good for an artist of his caliber. He needs to be out in the forefront, putting books out on a more regular basis.
Definitely, and he would have finished Fantastic Four. People forget that it wasn't that he was late. It was because Marvel pulled him off of that to start Captain America Reborn. That's why Stuart Immonen did that last issue. Otherwise,
well, the guy they've had on Fantastic Four the last two issues, I forget his name,
mm-hmm.
he's almost like a Hitch clone.
Yeah.
They should have put him on that FF book a couple issues before.
Was he the guy who did the Fantastic Force miniseries?
I don't know.
Okay. Cause
I didn't read that.
Because there was a very, very, very Hitch guy that did the Fantastic Force miniseries, which was the one set in New World.
Right.
Yeah, and I forget if it's the same guy or not because again it was like looking at Brian Hitch art. I mean there was no difference whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But all right. Anyway, I'm gonna give it a two. I'm hoping that issue six wraps things up, you know, nicely. But I already know how it turns out, and I already read Battle for the Cow. Who will wield the shield? So I'm not really that thrilled. So yeah, two.
I'm gonna give it a two as well. I hope number six shapes up and gives us some revelation.
Yeah.
Change the world a little bit, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost feels like Brubaker's afraid to change too much.
Well, because what's he going to do? Kill Red Skull? He'll just come back. You know? Because, I mean, you can't... That's one of my main issues with using a villain like Red Skull that has pulled plots like this time and time again. You know? Like, I mean, it you know for certain that... If they kill him off, he will come back because he's Red Skull and he's always going to be Cap's villain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to make him menacing when he's sort of repeating himself. And that's what happened in Captain America Reborn and in Captain America itself. I was happy when Red Skull went away for a while. You know, when he was inside of Luskin, that was pretty awesome. You know. And now Red Skull's just being back to being maniacal Red Skull again, even if he is in Cap's body. Mm-hmm. So, because he's done that before, even. You remember the Captain America clone that he wound up in for a while?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was I think the 80s or something like that, where his body started degenerating, so he cloned Steve Rogers, put himself in it, and that's the body that Red Skull was in for a while. So it's not. It wouldn't be the first time he's in a form of Steve Rogers. So, whatever. I'm done talking. you want to roll over? Well, what's next on you on your agenda?
I just want to ask you about Who Will Wield the Shield. Did you? Sure. You said you read that.
I did read that. Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I like that because it at least gave me something. You know, it let me know that Steve was going to stand aside, but he would occasionally put back on the outfit when necessary. But yeah, it looks like Obama has something for him. I mean, is his office? I mean, does he want him to run for office? I mean, what?
I'm wondering if it's running for office, but I'm more leaning like I was talking to you the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was just bullshitting with you, I think Steve Rogers could become the new leader of whatever world peacekeeping task force comes out of Siege.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the new Nick Fury of the new S.H.I.E.L.D. is what I'm predicting.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you get a different acronym this time or do you go back to S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know. I don't really care.
Hmm. Maybe they should be staff.
or gun.
With three N's. Or insignia. There we go.
Insignia.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Maybe acronym.
Oh, man. And if anyone could make it work, it'd be Marvel Comics right now.
Actual Combat Realization Ops. whatever. Young right. Men would be the end.
But no, I would like to see him in the S.H.I.E.L.D. role as well. I mean, he'd certainly be a better leader than Tony Stark was. Jeez.
Yeah, let's roll over to the Blackest Night stuff.
Okay, cool.
From November, that's kind of old.
All right, well, did you get all the rings, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah, same here. I have multiple copies of Green.
The
rings,
only ones
actually.
That I wasn't ordering originally were Rebels and Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually ordered those. Doom Patrol, I did read after we read number one.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue, I still didn't get.
Yeah, I've yet to read that issue of Doom Patrol. It's still sitting on my stack, and it's because I don't want to.
It's fun to flip through for the Giustiniano art, I will say that.
Yeah, but...
Love Giustiniano.
Well, and they're getting rid of the Metal Men backup anyway, so there's...
Yes, and the Metal Men backup in here is actually pretty cool.
Okay, good.
But I think it's a two-parter, so it's kind of like... Crap.
Well, I have the issue after that also, so I'll read that at some point. But yeah, let's talk about specifically the one that we actually chose, and that was Rebels number 10.
Yeah.
Now Tony Bedard has been hitting it out of the park with this book. I mean, I've been enjoying it since issue one, and I mean, really, I can't really think of anything that Tony Bedard's ever done that I haven't disliked. You know, some of it's just been okay, but it's never been bad. And mm-hmm. What Rebels is for me. And it is for a lot of other people, because I've heard this comparison plenty of times, it is the DC equivalent to Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, I mean, it's a space team that's, you know, brought together a ragtag group that's trying to, you know, set things right in the galaxy. And that's exactly what Rebels has been set to do, because Vril Dox has to right his own mistakes here, because his own, sentient robot wound up taking over... the Legion, and we're going after the worlds they were trying to protect, and Starro has been the big bad in this, and I kind of like what they did with Starro, that they made him just not just one giant starfish, you know, that he's an actual conqueror now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool, and I mean this issue led up to all my expectations, and that last page was absolutely brilliant. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about that later on a little bit, but have you been reading Rebels?
No.
Okay, so this was your first issue.
My first issue, but one thing it did not tell me was what the hell R-E-B-E-L-S stands for.
We don't know. We seriously don't know, man. It's another hammer.
Okay.
It's just there because it looks cool.
Yeah, I've never read any of the L-E-G-I-O-N stories.
Uh-huh, me neither.
Or anything with Vril Dox or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I do remember Tony Bedard plugging this thing away at last year's MegaCon.
Yeah.
When you and Brandon were down, so.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was fun. I liked it.
Yeah.
Starro sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little scene in there with him.
Yeah.
I love Andy Clark.
Oh, my God, yes.
I'm glad he's going to come on to Batman and Robin for three issues. That's going to be cool.
Oh, really? Cool. Wow. That'll be fun.
He's doing the next arc after Cameron Stewart, I think. Yeah.
Sweet.
So it's going to be Cam Stewart, then Andy Clark, and then Frazier Irving, and I think Frank Quitely after that. I'm not sure.
Man, he draws one badass Black Lantern zombie. I mean, Black Lantern stealth creeped me out when I saw that for the first time. You know, like almost like hanging jaw that she has, and the completely dead white eyes. It's nice. I like it a lot, man.
Well, the thing I love about Andy Clark's art is that he does a lot of like little lines, like stippling, and it's really different from anything else that's out there. He just doesn't. He takes his pen off the page a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of lends itself to a different feel.
Ooh, I'm trying to think of who it reminds me of. Iron Man artist.
Sean Chen?
No, not Sean Chen, although it is a little similar to that. But he was on Iron Man, like, maybe directly after Sean Chen.
Oh, you're thinking of after Addy Granoff?
Yeah,
Patrick Sturger?
That's one of them. Yeah, that's definitely one of them. I'm thinking of a Spanish name. It's like not Jose Garcia Lopez, is it? I don't know. I'm trying to think now. God damn it!
I don't know. It would
be so nice for me to actually know what I'm talking about when I say it.
I don't know, but you might have remembered Andy Clark from the 1 year later Batman, actually.
Yes.
He wasn't the artist on there, but he inked over not Don Kramer, the other guy, Leonard Kirk.
Okay.
So I was looking at that art, and I was like, hey, this Leonard Kirk guy is pretty good. Yeah. And then I looked at Leonard Kirk without Andy Clark, and I went, yeah.
So he definitely needs the Andy Clark.
I think so. I think it made that art in there. And then Andy Clark did some detective issues, I think, in Dini's run, some fill-ins, like a two-part or something like that, just by himself. And it was like, damn, this guy's got some chops.
It's pretty sexy.
So it's good to see he's doing his own book now and going back to Batman. It's going to be awesome.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. And, I mean, so I know that you're not much of a space guy, you know, because, I mean,
well,
go ahead.
I love Green Lantern.
Yeah. But Green Lantern's based a lot on Earth, though.
Not Green Lantern Core.
Yeah, true.
I mean, up until this series, you haven't been able to get much space out of DC.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I guess you had the Ranthanagar War.
Uh-huh.
1, 2, and 3.
Right.
I didn't read the last series with Ron Lim or anything like that. Jim Starlin. Didn't read those, but I did read, what was it? The one with the Infinite Crisis and I think the one after that or something. Death of the New God, something like that. Space, I don't know.
Right.
Haven't been keeping track up with Ranthanagar, but
Jorge Lucas, that's what I was trying to think of.
Jorge Lucas, and don't know who that guy is.
Okay, all right. Anyway.
Yeah. But I don't know. I like space.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't have much exposure to any space comics other than Green Lantern.
Right. And the
miniseries for Infinite Crisis, I guess.
Well, yeah, because that was very spacey, yeah. What was good about this issue is that this was the first issue that had Adam Strange in it as well. And I think adding him to the whole Rebels team here, I mean, even if it is just, you know, temporary, it's a really good addition because all those guys from like Countdown to Adventure and all that, I think really fit nicely into the spectrum here. And and Bedard has a really good voice for Adam Strange. So,
yay!
Yay!
Woo!
And
I think it's just kind of funny how the Rebels logo or the LEGION logo on his shirt sleeve is kind of a hand,
yeah,
grasping something, and then the black hand, Black Lantern symbol is kind of the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what I like about this is that this is almost like double trouble with the Rebels here because, yeah, they're dealing with the Starro men because they're all under the control of the Starros, and now you've got Black Lanterns that are also, you know, basically, you know, superhumans under the control of other people. Mm-hmm. So how the hell do you survive a combined attack of Starros and Black Lanterns? You know, I mean, what does the universe do?
I don't know. I guess you got to go back to Rebels 11.
I guess, yeah. Which is sitting there waiting to be read. I just got 12 in the mail also, so I'll have to read both of them back to back. But no, the
Black
last
Lantern Harbinger. That was weird.
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, I was not expecting to see Harbinger in anything. I mean we saw Pariah, so I guess it makes sense to see Harbinger.
Where was Pariah at?
Didn't Pariah show up in Blackest Night?
He might have.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I thought he was in Blackest Night number one, if not number two.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember him like clutching his head, like it, and saying something like "it never ends" or something like that. You know?
It never ends.
Yeah. But no, the best part of this by far. I mean, yes, everything was pretty fun in this. That last page, okay, with Vril Dox joining the Sinestro Corps, and nice logo. I mean, nice logo on his chest. Nice outfit. Period. I mean, the yellow goes great with his hair.
Yeah, that was a really cool last page. I was like, oh goodness.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that him with a yellow ring is very similar to Guy with a yellow ring. You know, because it's not like it's going to be like fueling him to be evil or anything. It's just he strikes fear in people, and he's sort of like above the law. So that's the way that this would go. I mean, you know, back when Guy Gardner had the yellow ring, yeah, this was before the whole Sinestro Corps, but you know, he was still a quote unquote good guy, even though he was blasting people with yellow light. You know, it's just in your nature or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that Vril is definitely one of those individuals. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this whole thing turns out, whether he stays a yellow lantern or not. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Oh, yes. And let's not even talk about Guy Gardner and what's going on in Green Lantern Corps.
Hey, hey, hey. If you're caught up, it's all good, man.
I know. I'm all caught up. Don't worry about it. I know it's all good because I got worried there for a minute. I thought I'd have to change my avatar.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Yay.
You could have zombified it yourself. That would have been funny.
Actually, that would have been sweet, man. I should have went for that. Four out of five on this one. The art was great. The writing was great. And I love Rebels, period. So that's
good.
Me.
It was good. I'll give it a 3.
Okay, cool. You going to continue to pick it up or?
No.
Okay. Is there a potential for picking it up in trade at some point?
There's a potential of skimming through it at Barnes & Noble. Maybe picking it up in trade. We'll see. Yeah.
Good enough for me. Okay. Well, let's talk about one of the other things that you haven't picked up until now, and something that you actually did research on, unlike when we did Doctor Who, okay?
Okay.
let's talk about Dr. Horrible number one.
To allude to what Ian was talking about, I actually did watch the Dr. Horrible series. I bought it off of iTunes, and I enjoyed it.
Good.
You know, I enjoyed it a whole lot, so it was cool.
Yeah.
It was a little more sing-songy than I thought, but I liked it.
Well, it is called Sing Along Blog.
I know. I know.
And it's Neil Patrick Harris.
I know. I like him, too. And I like Captain Hammer, Nathan Fillion, like him.
Yeah.
I thought the girl could have been hotter, but, you know.
Oh, but cool. Oh, but she's a geek goddess.
Oh, great. Yeah
I know.
That's what I want.
Yeah, right.
My girl's hotter than this girl, so it didn't do much for me.
Well, I honestly, I would agree with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You got to keep her there. You should marry her or something.
I should, right?
Yeah, right. So you read, you watched them, and then you read it. And this one's written by Zach Whedon, brother of Joss Whedon, who was the co-writer of the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, and Joelle Jones on art. And I'm going to comment on the art first. While it wasn't perfect likenesses, it was exactly what I like about Buffy Season 8, and that is it captured the characters, even if it didn't necessarily get their likenesses. And this was just fun art. I mean, like, it captured the mood perfectly for the issue. Really
it was. This was a lot better than that caped number one art.
Oh, definitely. Please.
Yeah, there's some polish on this art.
It doesn't exactly take much to be better than caped number one, man. I mean, holy shit. I mean, that I would use that thing as toilet paper if I ran out. My God.
I took that shit sucker out of the backing board. I was like, I'm going to use this backing board for something cooler. Jesus.
Nice. But, yeah, and you know, Zach Whedon, brother of Joss, did a good job on the issue. I mean, overall, I really liked the issue, and I'm glad there wasn't any singing in it.
I really liked it. I'll give it a 4 straight away. I'll just tell you that up front.
Okay, cool. I mean, well, what did you think of the story itself? I mean, it is pretty much an origin story for Dr. Harp.
It's an origin, and that was something I was wondering about watching the, watching the series. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to watch the series first, and then, like, I think it was like 3 weeks later, I got this thing in the mail, mm-hmm. and kind of read this and go, okay, cool, yeah, awesome.
Whatever you say, Einstein. What a hilarious made-up name. He's as witty as he is strong. Considering that my father gets called Einstein at baseball games, I just got a nice kick out of that.
Yo, Einstein!
Hey, Einstein! Hey! Stop calling me that bagel place. Einstein Bagels. Yeah, no, it had wit to it. It was genuinely fun, and even though it was about a bad guy, you know, you could actually really feel for Dr. Horrible, you know?
Which is something the series accomplished, too. So.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, Captain Hammer is the bad guy here.
Yeah, he's really a dick, so I feel for Dr. Horrible. I feel horrible for Dr. Horrible. Really do.
You ought to be more careful. What if I had been a knife? Yeah, and I mean, everything I liked about Sing Along Blog was in this, and I mean, really, there's not much else to say other than if you have not seen Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog, I would recommend seeing that first, but since this does work as an origin story, you could even work the opposite way. You know, if you really like this, go watch the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Question.
Yes.
The pinup in the back of Captain Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's Gene Ha. I want to say that's Stefan Rue. The Birds of Prey covers?
Yeah. Let's take a look here.
It says by Gene Ha on the bottom, but... No, it says Ha in the art. Never mind.
Wow. Yeah, that's a
weird Gene Ha.
It looks more like Daniel Acuna. You know? I mean, more...
No. It's got detail.
Oh, ouch.
Daniel Acuna is just watercolors with no... and shapes. And bright, glowy colors.
Well,
Day glow comic art.
Well, I'm mostly just saying that because this is a lot more computer rendered than I'm used to seeing from Gene Ha.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it does work as a as a cover or something like that, but it's not the cover, so mm-hmm. it's just a pinup.
Oh, what the hell was up with the ads for Beast of Burden in this issue? Wasn't that like a year ago?
That was issue one of it. Yeah. There's it's an ongoing series.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I haven't picked up any more of it. I mean, I liked it. I just haven't picked up any more of it. I mean, I might at some point. But yeah, it is a little odd that they used the art from issue one for the ad.
I was like, wait a fucking minute. But I do like the copy on here. The world's greatest... This is the Beast of Burden ad. World's greatest paranormal detective has been replaced. Mike Mignola. And then at the bottom, it's got Hellboy going, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, if I was Hellboy, I'd be pissed off by that, too.
But that's like a double ad for Hellboy and for Beast of Burden, so that's cool.
Yes, well, it is a Dark Horse comic. They are allowed.
I know.
Just like there was an ad for Buffy in this, because, you know, it's all in the Whedon family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the family.
And it did exactly what I like a one-shot to do, and that is it told a complete story and it didn't feel rushed. And yet, you know, I'm not clamoring for any more because the story was told.
Right.
You know? I mean, don't you hate it when you read a one-shot and it feels like there really should be an issue two?
It was a 350 minus 40% discount well spent.
I agree. Yeah. So this is certainly on my list of praise here. In fact, it goes even above Rebels. I'm giving it a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow. I give it a 4, like I said earlier.
Okay, cool.
Really good.
All right. Awesome. Well, I just had to outdo you in one way or another.
Okay, fine. Let's go to what do you want to go to next?
Let's see. We just did indie.
Marvel or DC?
Let's get the DC out of the way. Let's do JSA All-Stars number 1.
Alrighty.
Okay. All right.
Very interesting.
I'll let you lead the charge here on JSA All-Stars number 1, cuz I know some of your feelings off bat.
I'm not sure it's necessary. I'm not sure I like it. I'm not sure at all.
This is the most uncertain I have ever heard you, Mr. Christina. And
I love Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
But what the fuck happened?
Oh, that's not right.
It's the same. Well, okay. Here's the deal for me.
Okay.
Freddy's art on Robin, mm-hmm. which is where I fell in love with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw some of his Flash stuff. I wasn't really feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not read Final Crisis Run with the Human Flame.
Me neither.
So I don't know what he did on there. But it just – and, I mean, at first when I saw the preview pages for this issue, I was like, holy fucking God, this is going to be awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually got through the issue and read the whole thing. And we all love boobs and stuff, but I think he could tone it down a little bit.
Maybe.
I mean, it fits his style.
Mm-hmm.
I love his Magog, and I love his Citizen Steel.
Yeah.
But I think the ass and boob shots on Power Girl, especially, I'm trying to think if the other girls are a little more endowed than they should be.
Well, see my
it just doesn't. That's the one thing that distracted me is like,
yeah,
Power Girl's tits and ass. It's like, this is Freddie E. Williams. This is the man. This is not Ed Benes.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I understand what you're getting at, and my problem.
It might be a thing of the hyper detailed, ultra muscled thing he's got going on now.
Uh huh.
Because you know his Robin stuff. It was a little kid, so it wasn't hyper detailed or ultra muscled, but it was detailed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now he's just, you know, with the muscles and shiny armor on Magog and Citizen Steel and even Our Man, it's mm-hmm. just laying it on a little thick. And I think it's kind of turning me off here.
Well, I think, and you know, it's funny you mentioned the whole
evolution for him. And you know, I love as evolution an artist, but
yeah,
just kind of turning me off a little.
I think Power Girl would be better for me if she was bulkier. Because that's how I like my PG. You know, I like right. her to be bulky yet big-breasted.
She's supposed to be bulky. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, and here she seems a little too slender.
Her arms are pretty thick. I mean,
yeah, but, I her, think but just, her waist isn't.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my problem. He gave her like an hourglass figure, and I'm not exactly sold on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that, it does give her the badunkadunk, but you know, she doesn't exactly need a badunkadunk. She's got a booby. In fact, she's got two.
That's right.
So, well, that and is it just me or is he putting more lines in his work than he used to?
I think that's what I'm going for. Is he's kind of laying a lot in there.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And the Freddy that we had was very efficient in his line work, you know, mm-hmm. Of his characters, his backgrounds and stuff.
Right.
But I'm a little worried because if, you know, you're putting a lot of extra work and detail and lines with your artistic evolution,
mm-hmm.
Freddie was the guy mm-hmm. whose book came out on time every month.
Yes, I agree.
So with this many characters and people like Magog and Citizen Steel with these shiny armor things,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried. I'm a little concerned.
Well, and it's...
But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, you know?
No, yeah. Well, but I think my problem with it is that it sort of changes page to page. You know, how, like, certain pages seem to have many more lines on faces and bodies than the next pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Freddy that I see in non-action sequences, I want to see throughout the book. Because... Like in the farm scene with Cyclone and King, you know, those are all I can understand what's going on in the art. You know, everybody looks on model, everything looks pretty damn good there. Next page with Sand looks really, really nice.
Well, it's really, really less of anything.
Yeah, yeah. And then once
and
we
then go to the, you know, the beginning of the issue. Mm-hmm. That huge double page spread they had plastered in every DC comic.
Yeah.
It's like overload almost.
Yeah. I mean, specifically with Citizen Steel. I mean he's just out of proportion. You know? He reminds me a little bit of what I didn't like in Larry Stroman's art for X-Factor.
Mhm.
You know, so something that just doesn't feel natural. It's kinetic, sure, but it doesn't feel like something that a human being would be doing.
Well, I'm not going to pick on proportions, especially with Freddy.
Okay.
He's a cartoony artist.
Right.
If we wanted to nick on proportions, we should go back to Captain America Reborn number 5.
Okay.
You know, and that's something we didn't pick up. Hitch is a quality artist, but his proportions since Fantastic Four have been a little out of whack.
I'll give you that.
You know, look at some of those close-up, big page spreads, and you're kind of like,
yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to pick on proportions on Freddy. He's a cartoony artist.
Right.
He's expressive. He's emotive. And that's, you know, if they're a little out of proportion, that's fine.
And he draws one sexy city, I'll tell you that.
He does, and I love his backgrounds, even if they're clean or computer-generated or reused. I think it's the smart way to work in digital.
Yep. You know? I mean, that's the entire reason that all of Season 1 of Justice League was, you know, took place in Metropolis, because they could use that every time.
That's right. So, I mean, if you guys didn't know out there, Freddy does his art digitally on a Wacom tablet, you know, and does his own inks and everything on there, so that's why you don't see an inker. This is, you know, everything black and white is Freddy.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I mean, he does do the occasional page on pencil, but not very often.
Yeah, not very often.
Yeah.
But he's a super nice guy, a very smart artist. I really love his work on Robin. It'll take me some time to get used to it, I think.
Yeah, well,
you know, he's starting a new style. He's starting a new book. I think it'll take him a few issues to get into a groove.
Well, he's going to be at Super Show, so I'd love to pull him aside and talk to him for a little bit and see if he's. You know, if he's consciously trying to try a new style, or if it's just, you know, the evolution of his artwork, in his opinion. You know, whether or not he was really looking to do something different with JSA All-Stars, or if he, you know, just feels that this is just the next step for his artwork, because, you know, sometimes people just try something new, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, again, I'm not saying it's bad art. I'm not saying it's, you know, the best art I've ever seen. It just took me for a loop a little bit on certain shots.
It does, because, I mean, we're used to one thing on Robin, and we talked about this on the show, and you know, Raging Bulls talked about his work on Robin forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they've done so many interviews with him. You're used to that work.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a lengthy run on there 1 year later and a lengthy run after Chuck Dixon left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finished out the series Batman RIP, which was, you know, about a year ago. So,
right.
You know, I understand how it threw us for a loop.
Yeah.
Especially with all that's going on, all these characters and stuff, it's like, you know, you think he would have taken it easy, but he stepped it up. Well, he really did. He stepped it up.
Okay, I think we got to give him credit for that. No, I'll give him credit for that. I'll definitely give him credit for that. Third to last page, though, you know that Power Girl, he's been wanting to draw like 3/4 of his life. You know, with the completely torn outfit.
Yeah.
And like 3 shreds of clothing left on. I mean, more power to him there, man. I mean, that's placement. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the story a little bit. I mean, we've been talking about the art all the way. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing that stood out for me in this book was the art.
Oh boy,
not the story.
Yeah.
I liked what they were doing on the Justice Society of America title.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the Jesus Marino art.
Yeah.
I loved that first storyline. Mm-hmm. You know, it was. No, I didn't love it. I liked it.
Okay,
it wasn't great.
Yeah, except for the 87 Mr. Terrific. He's dead. He's alive.
Yeah, that was kind of hokey. But I liked what they did with the team together, and I'm kind of confused as to why this writing team split up so soon.
Well, are they split up? I mean, because I think Willingham and Sturgis are still co-writing Justice Society of America. I think this is just a spinoff book.
Nope.
Really?
Huh. No.
Wow.
They did those 5 or 6 issues, and then Sturgis came here, and Willingham stays over there.
Huh. Okay.
Which is weird.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're known for doing work together. I mean, I guess this is sort of just the natural extension of Willingham doing Fables and Sturgis doing Jack of Fables, you know?
It's just interesting that JSA got a second book before JLA did.
Well...
But based on sales... Yeah,
I mean,
quality of book recently.
Right. I mean,
JSA deserves it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did JOA deserve it at all? No, not really. I mean, yeah, James Robinson's been doing, you know, somewhat of an interesting job on Justice League since he took it over, but it's going to take a couple more issues for me to really start gelling on that or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With Sturgis here, I mean, yeah, he's playing off of what was laid down previously on Just Society, like you said. But my main issue with this arc in general, starting in Just Society of America, is why is everybody so angry? You know, I mean, this is not the team camaraderie that I grew to love in Geoff Johns' run, and it just seems so sudden. You know, I mean,
it was really sudden. It was the end of last issue. They said we need to split,
right?
And then, you know, 2 weeks later, you get this issue, and they're split, and you don't even really get a. You'd think they would have had a big meeting at their big stone table. Well, it was destroyed, but you know, a big meeting saying, you know, vote against, vote for, and and stuff like that, and you don't get that. You don't get to see the reasons why of anything, and that, I think that's what's bothering me about this story, is that it just feels so fast-forward and jumped ahead.
Yeah.
I was just confused by it.
Well, and obviously the reason why is because there's, you know, 843 characters in Justice Society of America, and they felt they needed to split it off.
Right.
But
I mean, then you open the page, and you've got the same amount of characters, just with villains.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then these guys filling up a double-page spread, and, you know, I think each team's still too damn big.
Well, let's see. How many characters are on this? We got Stargirl.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. I counted the bubbles.
Okay.
10.
All right. And
there's about 8 or 10 on the other one.
Maybe we should say 9, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen to one of them. After Blackest Night.
Right.
Yeah, because this is definitely taking place before Blackest Night, because, something bad happens to one of the members of this team. I don't want to spoil Blackest Night for anybody who's waiting on it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
That's some damage to the character.
Oh!
Come on, it's 2 months ago.
All right, fine. Damage bites in that, but...
If you're reading JSA, you're going to be reading JSA Blackest Night. Yeah. You're going to be reading Blackest Night.
You're right. Okay, fine. Yeah, so, I mean, it might be 9.
You know, what I did like about this issue is the training sequences.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I liked the talk between Power Girl and Star Girl.
Yeah, because I was asking that same question. What the hell is Star Girl doing on this team? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Same thing with even Red Tornado.
Wildcat.
Being on it. Well, Wildcat, really?
Yeah, why isn't he with his father?
One Wildcat per team.
Don't you think his dad could teach him, you know, a thing or two? I don't know. Just kind of weird. He just got to know his father, and then he splits on the team.
No,
just,
you're right. I
want to see the sequence somewhere of how they pick these teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, other than all the young people, all the old people.
Well, and splitting up Hourman and Liberty Bell / Jesse Quick. I mean, yeah, they say in this issue, you know, not every couple works together, and then they laugh and whatever. But I mean, they were a good 1-2. You know, I mean, they played off of each other incredibly well in Geoff Johns' run. So, I mean, it's going to take me a while to get used to this new team dynamic here, especially with, you know, yeah, they might have explained why Stargirl's on the team. Yeah, she's going to be the heart and soul or whatever. But, I mean, Cyclone's also really young, and she's on this team. Mm-hmm. And she's got to be learning from somebody, too. Is Power Girl going to have enough time to teach and kick ass at the same time? Because Magog certainly ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
It's they're going to have to prove a lot to me. Let's put it that way. Because, I mean, for now, I'm putting down money for 2 JSA books. And if one of them starts failing, I might have to quit both of them, you know, because they're going to be connected.
Yeah. What confused me, I think, mainly about this is that you had these Nazi or Russian guys in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all armored up and teched up.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the issue, you get Sylvester Pemberton's uncle or whoever the guy is. They don't even explain who he is, and all his guys are armored and teched up, too.
Yeah.
You know, doing the same type of thing. And it's just like, all right, is he different guys, same guys? I'm a little confused.
I think they're the same guys.
I think they're different.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a different crew, based on issue 2.
Okay. All right. Well, then maybe so. I don't know. I mean, it is cool that the whole, you know, not attacking Stargirl thing, you know, continued in this.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, because actually, that was kind of my favorite parts of the Justice Society, where she was like, attack me! Hello! You know, because she's left out of there while everybody else is getting their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was okay. I mean, I'm going to put it middle of the road. I'm going to give it a solid 2.5 out of 5 because that's literally exactly middle of the road.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. I mean, I think that there's a lot of questions that are unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's causing a lot of the confusion. There's a lot of scenes that are missing.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's – it's going to take a little while for this book to find its legs and kind of get over those questions or answer them.
Yeah.
One thing I was disappointed in number two, let's just fast forward a month here,
mm-hmm.
Not the specifics of the issue. I thought the issue was fine. But the backup is the Liberty Bell and Iron Man backup.
Yeah.
Now, at first when I heard of this, I was like – oh, cool. It'll be them coming home after each mission and kind of talking to each other. And
mm-hmm.
I was hoping that it would give us the background. And I know you haven't gotten your shipment yet.
I just got it today. That's how I read Conan.
Okay.
So you probably
haven't read it yet. Yeah. So I was hoping it would give us the background and the answers to these questions. Like, why did the team split? What's mm-hmm. going on with the other team? Seeing the communication between the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Kind of a lead-in between both series,
right?
You know, kind of
right.
link between the two of them. That's not what's going on at all. Nah. They're on their own damn adventure somewhere else,
God
totally separate.
Oh, that sucks.
And it just feels unnecessary and stupid when they could have made a link between the two series and kind of made you want to jump from mm-hmm. one to the other if you were just picking up this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get you. And considering that DC, I mean, according to Dan DiDio, the whole, you know, second story thing is a failed experiment. So, I mean, don't expect that backup to last very long.
I don't know. I mean, I loved the Blue Beetle stuff on Booster Gold. It fits great.
So
I'm glad. I'm sad it's ending.
Yeah.
And Sturgis did a better job on that than he did his last few issues of Blue Beetle, I thought.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
You know, I started to enjoy Sturgis on Blue Beetle when it became a backup on Booster Gold
mm-hmm.
more than I did as its own series when it ended.
Yeah. And that series is shifting entirely because Booster is going to be written by Giffen and DeMatteis.
Yeah.
With
art by thing I'm weary of.
Really?
It's such the humor crap.
Yeah, but I don't know. They've done non-humorous things, dude. I mean, come on, DeMatteis wrote Kraven's Last Hunt, you know?
I know. But anytime you put him with Giffen, people think of
Bwahaha.
That's not the Justice League. Bwahaha, JLI.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting a whole fucking bi-weekly series of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put him on Booster Gold with
Batista.
Chris Batista, who I liked.
Yeah.
He did a fill-in issue when they did that Brave and the Bold thing with
mm-hmm.
Magog.
Yeah.
I think he did the art on that. He did a good job. But I'm loving the direction of Booster. I'm loving the direction that Jeff Johns, Jeff Katz, and Dan Jurgens put him in.
I'm hoping
and I'm
that
afraid
they're
going to
continue that.
I hope they continue, but if it becomes a funny book, I'm going to drop it. I really am.
I don't see it becoming one. I really don't. I think they're going to balance the humor with the story just like Jurgens and Johns did. I think that's exactly what we're going to see. I thought
it was in great hands with the book's creator.
Right.
And I want to know why he left. Why is he sleep? It's his baby, you know?
Well, maybe, I mean,
you get to take the character that you created from a Bwahaha kid who, I mean, I didn't read the original run
mm-hmm.
before he became a Bwahaha character. But basically, he's been a shitty character up until people started using him in 52.
Yeah.
And up until people started using him in this book and made him a real character with a real heart.
Well,
and then you're going to give it back to those guys who made him a laughing stock of the DC universe?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm weary. I'm weary.
I mean, I share your weariness, okay? Because while I did enjoy, you know, the Bwahaha, and while I did enjoy formerly known as Justice League and all that jazz.
See, I read those, and some of them got me, some of them didn't. So to me, it's just going to be a lot of unnecessary gags or things that don't work for me.
Well, I hope not, because didn't Giffen do a fill-in issue at some point on Booster, or am I thinking of – I'm probably just thinking of Chuck Dixon, right? Because
Dixon did and
Remender.
Remender did the Starro stuff.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right, then never mind. I mean, I'm going to withhold judgment until I read a few issues, and then I might fall in your camp for all I know. My only thing is, I mean, talking about Jurgens, the only place that I could see him going to get rid of Booster would be Superman. I think he's going back to Supes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, why else would he give it up?
He's co-writing the Jed Winnick JLI biweekly thing that I'm not going to get.
No, Giffen is. Giffen is, not Juergens. Giffen, oh. Giffen's co-writing it with Winnick.
Juergens going on the online one, I think.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's going on the DC Universe Weekly online.
Ah, oh, man, if they took
great
him off,
idea.
If they took him off of Booster just for that, then I quit. I'm sorry, man. I mean, that's just.
I think they did. I want to say that they did. Let me pull up the source real quick.
Frizza.
While we talk about it, but
right.
You know, all that news came out about Brightest Day. I was like, awesome, biweekly. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute, we got another one for you. We're gonna bring back the JLI. Yeah, Blue Beetle's gonna be in it. Cocktease Brent. You love the new Blue Beetle. Cocktease. Tickle your balls. You know, just fuck.
Well,
ugh.
Well, and what about? Hey, come on, Birds of Prey. I'm happy about that. Gail Simone.
Yeah, what do you fucking do?
Hey, don't you be dissing on the birds. Birds will poop on you. Seriously.
Ed Benes. Yay.
All right. Yeah,
let him have him.
Yeah, that part I'm not exactly thrilled about. I'd rather it be Nicola. But Nicola.
Generation Lost, Justice League, Keith Giffen, Judd Winnick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With
Booster Gold, Fire, Ice, Captain Atom.
Yeah.
New Blue Beetle.
And probably Martian Manhunter. I'm calling that here. That's definitely Martian Manhunter. It can't be anybody else. In that shaded cover that they showed.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to find the online thing.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
All right. Well. Let's stop worrying about that. Let's talk about the rest of the comics. All right.
No.
No, you must. You must.
Right. I must have an answer.
You must.
Next weekly series.
Okay.
The Legends. Oh. IGN. Source, you fucking cock tease. Same thing.
Hold on.
Hold on, I got it open. Yeah, Tony Bedard and Dan Juergens are writing it.
Okay.
There you go.
Well,
they have.
As long as they don't pull Bedard off anybody. I mean, if they do, I will hurt people. Seriously. I'm dangerous. I'm in Bellevue. That's where crazy people go. Wahaha. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. So both of us gave it 2.5, and that extra rant there brought to you by 7UP and viewers like you. All right, moving on. Marvel or Dark Horse?
Let's go with Secret Warriors.
Okay. All right. Well,
Marvel.
Well, I don't know if I told you this, but I had dropped Secret Warriors.
You have?
I had.
Had. Okay.
Until you made this pick, I had dropped it. because it was okay, it just wasn't really captivating me too much.
Mm-hmm.
I had had maybe four issues just lying there. Unread, right. And I read through them, and I freaking loved it.
Did you?
Yeah, it kicked into overgear. Like as of issue six, like everything started clicking for me. And I mean, I wound up tracking down the rest of the issues that I was missing. And I mean, here's issue 11, starting off a new arc and everything. And I mean, Hickman and Caselli continue to be great.
Did you get the list special?
I did. Yeah, I did, and I read it, and that was a
that was excellent.
It not only was it excellent, but it was a continuation of the story. It was one of the few.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was one of the few issues of the list that actually wasn't just a throwaway.
And the great thing about the Thunderbolt crossover issues is that I didn't pick those up, and I still know what's going on.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think they were really necessary.
No, my favorite part about that whole thing is that yes, there is a secret base in the new Yankee Stadium.
Cool.
No wonder it was so over budget. Yeah, no, I mean, almost like, goddamn you. Like, damn, I had thought I was finally, picking up less books. I was getting there. I was whittling things down, and I was going to start with Secret Warriors. And now I'm picking it up right here again. You suck.
Well, I mean, for me, I was kind of getting there where you were mm-hmm. early on.
Yeah.
Picked up the first six issues. I thought it was good. I love Caselli. I loved him on Initiative. You know, Hickman is proving to be a pretty good writer. But issue to issue, month to month, the series was not knocking it out of the park. But when you read them back to back to back, I think it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it makes for a better read together because everything is so fleshed in together and there's so much going on. Mm-hmm. I think it really reads better when you read them in chunks.
Yeah. That's what I benefited from, I think. That, you know, the fact mm-hmm. that I had those four issues sitting there, that's what really got me hooked again.
And then what's really get me excited now is Leviathan. Once that came out and they started uttering that word,
mm-hmm.
and then with this issue, we actually get to see these guys. Oh, man, my balls are tickled pink.
What is it with you and your balls today, man?
I don't know. But, you know, they're using the Gorgon from Wolverine Enemy of the State,
uh-huh.
who I love this character. Yeah, I think he's badass to the
Hell
bone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. These Leviathan guys are creepy. They're in everything. I want to know what's going on, if they're aliens or whatever. It's just Hickman's got me hooked, man.
And
as long as Caselli's on art, uh-huh. I'm set for life.
Oh, dude, tell me about it. Yeah, well, I mean, Caselli was one of the selling factors of the Initiative when that first started.
Exactly.
And, I mean, him on this, I think his art's better here than it was on the Initiative.
It is. I mean, it's still strong. It was strong in the Initiative. It's stronger here.
Mm-hmm.
The one complaint I have in this issue is that they changed the colors from the last time that Caselli was on.
Uh-huh.
The last time Caselli was on, they had a brighter colorist, and now they're going with Sonny Gaho,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot more a muted palette.
Yeah.
And I think Caselli's art needs that pop.
I agree.
I think it needs that brighter color tones.
Yeah. I mean, it did work with some of the Japan scenes.
Right.
You know, where it was almost painted, which was pretty cool. But,
once you get to the real Secret Warriors and stuff, it just kind of gets muted because there's so much darkness. Like when Nick Fury's talking to Maria and they're walking through Hotspot Secret Base number 13, mm-hmm. and the muted colors really hurt it, I think.
But no, what made this issue for me? Four words. I am the Kraken. Okay, introducing the Kraken into Marvel, man. Okay?
Well, that wasn't the first time we've seen him, though. We've seen him in past issues of this, though.
Oh, yeah? All right. I must have missed that.
Right?
I must have missed that.
That's the Hydra guy.
Oh, crap. You're right. Okay, yeah. Yeah. But still, I mean, the Kraken resonates for a lot of different reasons, okay? Not just for Marvel, but, I mean, he has a couple of less arms than the Kraken that I'm used to, but that's okay. That works.
Release the Kraken!
Oh, God, it didn't... What did you think of the trailer for the...
Dude, I can't wait for that movie, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, it comes out Super Show weekend. Some people want to go.
Cannot wait for that movie. That looks badass.
I'll see it eventually. Yeah. No, actually,
I'm not expecting to blow me away, but I'm expecting a fun time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'll definitely see it in theaters because it's one of those movies you can tell really look good on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, no, you know what my major problem with this issue was?
Mm-hmm.
The ad for Captain America Reborn number 6.
Dude, Nick Fury has a son.
Wait a minute. Was that? No.
This is my son, Mikael.
No, I thought
he runs the gray team.
I thought that he was saying that too. There's two people that look almost exactly like Nick Fury standing next to each other.
The short-haired guy is his son.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. There's two people with Nick Fury's hairstyle. This is the other one. This is Gabe that says that. It's not Nick Fury that says that.
What?
It's no. Go to the page.
Okay. There's a black guy and there's a white guy.
Yes.
Nick Fury and the black guy whose name is Gabe.
Okay. Yeah, and they both have the exact same hair.
Nick, what am I walking into? Says Maria.
Yeah.
So Maria and Nick Fury go inside this room.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see the eye patch on the opposite page of where he says, "This is my son." You know, Dum Dum.
Here's
a psychic.
Okay.
Alexander Pierce with the long hair.
Yeah.
This is my son, Mikael.
Huh.
Michael.
I guess. He's
got blue eyes just like Nick Fury. He's a white dude.
All right.
It's Nick Fury's kid.
Damn.
Where's his kid been all along? and I want to know more about him.
I mean, so do I. I mean, that's why, like, when I saw him, I was thinking that it must have been I must have been reading it wrong. You know, because that was the one part where I mean, it was probably the coloring that that threw me a little bit because they were both colored to be almost exactly the same looking. Like, he almost looks like an LMD of Nick Fury. He doesn't look like his own character.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get the dad, man. I mean, was he married at some point? Is he an illegitimate kid? I mean, was he farmed from a clone baby? Who freaking knows?
I don't know.
It's the Marvel comic. It should be. He could have popped out of his stomach for all we know.
I love the end page. I mean, strap it on tight, son.
Yep.
What are we strapping on, Bob?
Whoa. We're not going there with Nick Fury, okay?
He says it's coming. Hell's coming. He's coming right behind it.
Oh, God.
I thought it read, it's coming hard. I was like, what?
Yes.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that.
Strap it on, because hell's
it
coming.
It might as well.
Yeah, great. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I love this series because it's not about the team anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Secret Warriors is not about the team of misfits. And that's good because I still don't know who they all are.
Yeah. Well, what
I know Daisy and I know Phobos, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Yeah.
Now it's about Nick Fury's army. I think that's what it's about.
And we got that nice touching scene where JoJo and is that her name? JoJo? Is it JoJo?
I think you're on the right track. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I know that it's two names over and over again. But let's see. Yo-Yo, not JoJo. Yeah. Yeah, where Yo-Yo goes back home and, I mean, Yo-Yo.
Jerry and Yo-Yo.
Yeah, Jerry and Yo-Yo go back
Yo-Yo
home.
Yo-Yo is a speedster, yes. I think.
Yeah, she's the one who got her arms ripped off.
Yeah, I don't know who Jerry is. I don't remember what his power is or anything. That's the problem with this book. There's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who these characters are. I need to go back from the beginning.
He's a strong guy, I think.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the muscle man of the group.
Yeah,
but they've got a thing going as it's very apparent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But overall very very happy with it, and most importantly, I'm happy that Secret Warriors is not ending along with the Avengers books, because I was worried about that, because you know it started with the whole Dark Reign thing, and now that Dark Reign's ending, I'm happy to see that Secret Warriors is continuing.
Yeah, but I did read something somewhere. It was pretty recent, but there is an end in mind with Secret Warriors.
Okay.
It's not going to go on forever. It's mm-hmm. not going to get stretched out. It's kind of like Lost.
Okay.
He's got an ending in mind for it. I think he knows when it is. I don't know if it's 25 or 50 or something like that, but, you know, it's a little ways away. So.
Well, I like how Bendis put it, though, when Hickman first started the series. It's like, Hickman and I were co-writing, and after that first issue, Hickman was so good that my name was still on it, but he was doing everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way he put it. It's like Hickman came up with a story and just ran with it. So I'm like, you know what? You could just take over the title. You could just do what you want. I'm going to go over here and write Avengers books.
Yeah. I love the covers by Jim Chung.
Yes.
I love the, the half covers a la Secret War. I think it's cool.
Where the hell is Jim Chung?
Civil War.
Where the hell is he?
He's doing this. That's it.
Yes, I want him on a monthly book again, man.
I know, I do too.
I mean, I want him back on Young Avengers, to be honest.
Him doing Siege would have been cool too.
Oh, that would have been.
I love Coypel, and I love Jim Chung too.
Well, they needed Coypel to do the Thor.
I know. I understand.
Know? Yeah,
but I love them both.
4 out of 5, definitely.
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
Yeah, story and I mean this. You know what's great about this group of books that we have here. Is that other than Captain America, Reborn, which, we gave it a middle of the road.
2.5.
2.5.
Yeah.
And JSA All-Stars. I mean, this is probably the strongest crop of Review Corner books that we've chosen.
Yeah. Good job.
Hey.
All around. Everybody.
Yeah, good job all around, because you chose Secret Warriors, and thank you.
You're welcome. I think it chose JSA All-Stars, too.
I think you might have, yeah. But meanwhile, in the realm of Dark Horse Comics.
And I did choose Conan. These are the three I picked. Yeah.
Conan, The Way to the Crown, written and drawn by Derek Robertson. Robertson. Derek Robertson. Yeah.
I read this earlier today, and it was fun.
I read this 15 minutes before we started, and it was fun. I mean, it's a wordy motherfucker, but it's fun.
Yeah. But it's a cool little story.
Oh, definitely. And all the art, man. He pulls out no stops with this art. I mean, there's blood, there's guts, there's gore, there's glory, there's everything you want in a Conan comic, or Conan, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It's all there, man. I mean, Derek was made to draw this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And the colors, actually.
Yeah.
Tony Avignon colors very, very pretty. I mean, yeah. I mean, the overall story, I mean, there isn't much talking going on. It's mostly all narration. And for a story of this magnitude, I think that works nicely. You know, you don't really need much first-person perspective here. It's just all, all dialogue boxes as opposed to dialogue balloons, and that's fine by me. And there's boobies, which is also nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, overall, I mean, this was a happy surprise, because, I mean, I knew that it would be fun because, you know, Derek draws some pretty messed up stuff in The Boys in the first place, but this is a whole new realm for him, right?
Yeah.
Did you dig?
I dug it a lot. I really did. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, the first two pages, I was kind of confused.
Mm-hmm.
With all the narration and all the lands and stuff. But once they finally got down to it,
yeah.
Hey, he's fighting for a king. This is what's going on. You know, by page 3 and 4, I was totally into the story. I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed this little jaunt with Conan.
Well, and it was a pretty classic story, too. I mean, even though this was an original tale, this specific story has been told over and over again about, you know, a society choosing a warrior over intellect, and, you know, because of that, all he wants is fighting, and leaves behind, well, what about the crops? What about the people? What about the, you know, what about the land? What about, you know, what about the livestock? And all Conan's thinking is, you know, I need more fight. And,
well, that's the only way he knows how to do things. So
yeah.
Him taking care of his land is against invaders. And the only way he knows how to do that is hand-to-hand brutal combat.
Yeah. And I mean, once that kid died, that's when I think it really hit him, because that little kid was there for, like, through his entire, like, he was sort of like the heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the matter. And once he died, he was like, oh, my people are dying from plague. I can't do anything about that. I can't hit that with a mallet.
And I like how every battle scene always ends with Conan above the crowd holding a head.
Yes.
And at first they're like, hurrah! And then it happens again. They're still like, hurrah! And then he holds up the bear's head and they're like, yay!
And then eventually it's boo, and then he asks the crowd, were you saying boo or boo earns? I was saying boo earns. Kill him!
What is that from?
It's from The Simpsons.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the film...
Don't bother.
No, it was the film festival episode. It was the crossover with the critic.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mr. Burns makes this film about how awesome he is, and he gets the Mexican equivalent of Steven Spielberg to direct it.
Wow.
Stefan Spielbergo.
Awesome.
Yeah. And everybody's booing except for one person.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, everything about this was all I was hoping for and more. The exact same thing about Dr. Horrible I got in this. You know, it was a complete story. It was a one-shot.
The pages in this thing? Yeah. Fucking thick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Nice presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the sketchbook in the back.
Yep.
And I think it's an oversized story for $350 sketchbook. Super nice pages.
Mm-hmm.
These Dark Horse one-shots. When's the next one? I'm going to pick more of these.
Yeah, well, we...
Fuck you and your Doctor Who comics, man.
God damn it, I picked one Doctor Who comic. Out of, like, all the picks that we've made, and because of that, I'm forever scorned by you. Great.
Well. Okay. You picked Caped.
Yeah, that was a mistake. All right. But no, this was fantastic. And okay, people take notice, okay? This was 350, like you just said. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the orders for this were pretty high because Conan Comics do pretty well on Diamond's numbers. And B, it's Derek Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
So companies, please take note, 350 can work, okay?
Yeah, it's not 399.
Mm-hmm.
350.
Yeah, which is exactly where I thought they should have went on pricing in the first place.
At least
place,
just comic books. A quarter, you know, 325.
Yeah. I mean, I gave them 350.
350?
350.
4 stars on this bitch.
Ooh, I am giving it 4 stars as well, sir.
And Derek Robertson does ink his own stuff. Mm-hmm. You know how we were talking about this before? I think we should cover it again.
Yeah.
Looking at the back matter and his pencils for some of these pages.
Yeah.
It's clear to see that he just does a lot of roughs unless he needs to do a really detailed thing.
Right.
And then goes over it and inks and kind of finishes it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the facial structure changed. You know, you open up the last page of the book, Conan's got a serious face. And then you go back to the actual page in the comic, and he's a lot more sullen.
Right. Yeah.
A lot sadder. So, he's got a look of surprise, I think.
Well, and this is something that I like to see in these sort of, you know, oversized issues, as opposed to, you know, the $3.99 with the reprints that Marvel loves to put out. You know, screw that. I want sketches. You know, I want to see what the artwork looked like beyond, you know, in the beginning stages, because then you get to know more about the book than you would get by reprinting Madrox number 1 and X-Factor 200. Yes, I'm talking to you, Marvel. What the hell? You know? What the hell does Madrox number 1 have to do with the current X-Factor that's going on right now?
I don't know.
I was pissed off about that. That was $4.99, man.
Repetition of the scenes of Conan jumping into the battle.
Yes.
3 different times. That was cool. And it's different every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was like he couldn't decide on what he wanted.
Oh, and I liked the evolution also of seeing his initial sketches of Conan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing the last 2 pages of this and how he looks like a lot more clean and I guess more like Hercules than Conan on that first drawing, and then he gets to more of the barbarian side of Conan, and that's the one that he stuck with,
right?
And that was definitely a good choice there, because if he looked like Hercules, I'd rather watch Kevin Sorbo. Thanks.
I don't know about Conan in general.
Mm-hmm.
I've never read any Conan comics except this one.
Yeah.
And I just recently saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, so I'm assuming that the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is not really an accurate representation of Robert E. Howard's Conan.
You know, I'm going to go with a yes.
And that movie was long. I mean, it was only 2 hours, but goddamn, that movie was slow as hell.
Really?
I'm talking about the first one, not the second one. Okay. Not with the girl who married Flavor Flav, almost. But the first one I saw is on Netflix on streaming.
Uh-huh.
Or it was for a little while, and I watched it, and I was falling asleep in it and everything. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
God damn.
Something happened.
You're making me very happy I've not seen this movie.
I mean, it's supposed to be like not a classic, but, you know, semi-classic, whatever.
No, there's a reason why these things are called cult classics, okay?
Cult classic, yes, there you go.
Yeah, because yes.
And Arnold, I don't think he speaks for like the first 45 minutes. Which might be why it was so slow.
Well, wait, was this the one where he's actually overdubbed by someone else, or was that, or am I thinking of a different movie?
That's something else. This sounded like Arnold.
Okay, because there's another movie that he did where he was like a barbarian type character, where it was like one of the first things that he ever did, and he was actually overdubbed by someone else.
Don't know.
Yeah, damn it! I wish I could think of it right now, but oh well. Yeah, it's Kazar. There we go. No. All right, but yeah, no. This was fantastic, and yeah, we're gonna pick more Dark Horse one shots in the future.
Mm-hmm.
For our sake. Yeah. In fact, let me let people know what our current picks are, just so we can, you know, read those off to people. How about that?
Okay.
Current picks are as follows: DC. We've got Superman Last Stand of New Krypton, number 1. And It's 75% off on Heroes Corner for 75 cents, which is pretty damn nice. Sif number one from Marvel, 40% off, $239, but you know, you can get it wherever you can find it. And most importantly, Free Comic Book Day, Tick number one, special edition. Because I've never actually read the first issue of the Tick.
Now, question.
What's up?
These Free Comic Book Day things, are these coming out? Are the all these books coming out in May?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when I saw you that you picked that, I was... Because typically they'll have you order them ahead of time.
Right, right.
Ahead of time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
these are actually all going to come out in the same month.
These are all good. Well, okay, well, let's see. January, February, March, April. I think Tick will probably come out in May while these will come out in April.
All right, okay.
Which is not too bad because, I mean, we wind up, you know, being late on things anyway. So if anything, we'll just right. double up with our indie picks that month or something. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Or we could just pick something else and just talk about it. But no, either way, I mean, these are really good. I'm mostly looking forward to Superman Last Stand at New Krypton because this is the next stage of the whole story.
Who's doing the art on that?
Let me look it up. I think I know who it is, and yet I can't think of it right now because
is it a Kubert?
Might be. Let's see. DC Universe, a source.
Don't go there.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
All right. I know Cooper did the cover.
Dud the cover?
You could just go to the Heroes Corner site.
I'm going
to
do that because it's easier that way, damn it. Thank you very much for being my brain, Brent.
You're very welcome.
See, this is why I've been dumb the past couple of months. Okay. All right, and Superman Last Son of New Krypton. Here we go. Art by Pete Woods.
Oh.
What? The hell's bad about that?
I like Pete Woods. I liked him on Superman 1 year later. I liked him on his Batman stuff, but he's been falling behind on World of New Krypton.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Have
you read it lately?
I've been loving it, yeah.
Look at the art on the last issue.
Well, I haven't seen the most recent issue, so I
okay,
I can't,
it just
I can't
it's in your that. Shipment.
Yeah.
But that issue 11 and 10 and 9, his art started off strong, and now he's only due about half the issue.
Uh-oh.
And the half that he has been doing the last couple issues are, you know, it's his quality has been dropping off dramatically.
Okay.
And I don't like the use of his double page spreads.
Alright, let's see.
Because he makes the panel edges just past the crack of the page.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to go to tell which way you're supposed to read when it's not really clear.
Ooh, yeah, this looks different.
Yeah, the first half of the book is a different artist.
That's probably why. Okay. Yeah, it's very loose.
I mean, Pete Woods is loose. He's a loose artist. He inks his own stuff. Or maybe he just draws in ink or something like that.
This looks like it was drawn by James Woods.
His 1 year later stuff was fantastic. I loved that. I loved his Batman stuff before then.
Yeah.
You know, but his World New Krypton stuff has been lackluster.
We'll see how this upcoming thing looks. Because, I mean, he's got time to work on this. So hopefully it'll turn out okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's coming out right after 12.
All right. Well, it's written by James Robinson and Sterling Gates.
Okay.
So, I mean, we got that going for it. And cover by Andy Kubert. That's why you were thinking Kubert.
Yeah.
And the art team and the writing team on Sif. Let me give you that also, because... I mean, I'm really going out on a limb with Sif here because, I mean, it could turn out to be good or it could turn out to be dreck.
Wondering about that.
Yeah. Written by Kelly Sue DeConnick and pencils by To Be Determined.
Yeah. Wow, this can't wait for that.
What?
To Be Determined.
Dude, trust me, TBD has done some amazing work, okay?
Like the what did Marvel put out on their solicits now? Who cares if Captain America got reborn or something like that?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Written by TBD. Art by TBD.
Yes.
like, dude's on fire.
What was it? Wasn't it another rebirth? Was it something like that? Captain America, another rebirth or something?
Something like that. I think it was. I think it's a Deadpool comic. And I was like, fuck this. God, I hate
the Deadpool core.
Okay. I don't hate Deadpool. Yeah. I liked him in the Messiah War one shot we read.
Yeah.
It's as much Deadpool as I've read, and I've seen Wolverine vs. Hulk. That's about it. He's funny, but goddamn, they're laying it on thick.
Oh, he was great in Hulk Versus.
Yeah, he was great there.
Hey, Wolverine. Hey, Wolverine.
I shot you. Best line in the whole fucking.
Yes.
But they're really laying on Deadpool thick, and I'm just tired of it. Man,
They should slather him a little less.
He doesn't even have a movie coming out. Green Lantern's coming out before then.
Well, they want you to be very happy about him so that when the movie comes out, you're like, oh my god, this movie is fantastic, even if it sucks.
Oh my god, no, thanks.
Any other news come out recently that we should, discuss real quickly before we end this episode?
We talked about Brightest Day. We talked about the all the DC stuff that's come out.
Yeah.
Avengers, they're ending the Avengers titles.
Yes, which I want to touch on real quick. But before that, we got a director for Spidey 4.
Who?
Let's see. Mark Webb.
Who?
Mark Webb of 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, good God.
Yep. Well, I mean, I hear that movie's supposed to be good.
I haven't seen that movie.
Supposed to be good.
Yeah, but
well, they're going for a younger movie, so this is going to be, adding to that a little bit, I guess. We just got to see who they choose to play, Peter Parker, and then I'll start worrying or not, I guess.
The CG episode of let me find that episode number on my iPod. Mm-hmm. 769 Comic Talk.
Yeah,
pretty much summed up my feelings about Spider-Man 4 right now.
What was it?
They just basically said everything and anything about it. No, okay. It could be good, it could be bad, but it's shitty that they dicked Sam Raimi over.
Yes.
Him and Conan are getting raw deals.
Ugh. What? Conan had a really good comic come out.
No. Coco.
Conan O'Brien. Nicely done.
Bring.
Ding, 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 ding. And hey, Smallville, JSA, Absolute Justice.
Yay.
It's happening. It's going
to
happen.
I can't wait for Lost to come back.
Oh,
for
dude.
A second.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of looking forward to JSA, if only because it's happening on my birthday. or maybe a little bit after that. I forget exactly when it airs, but I mean, my birthday is the 28th. I think they pushed it back a week.
Mm-hmm.
But why not?
No, Smallville's on Fridays now.
Oh yeah, okay. So that's the 29th then, maybe.
Yeah, I've been calling my uncle Bit for Smallville. I'm busy on Fridays.
Oh really?
I guess in front of the TV and watch it.
How's he doing, by the way? How's he dealing with the?
He's
the
good. He got out of the hospital all right.
Good. I'm glad.
His pirate business is back in business.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It's good.
Was he able to raise his bandwidth?
I think it depends on how you're calling him. he's still in the bay. His ship is still in the bay, so pretty good.
.org. All right, I think we've exhausted everything now. So, meanwhile, there's just something called a BK's Bullets that has graced us recently.
It has graced you with its presence.
Yes, yes.
Two presents, actually.
Oh, really?
Covering three different things. Ho, 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 ho.
Ho, ho. Someone's been a busy boy.
Someone has been busy, yeah. Pretty busy.
What are you covering?
I don't know. I read a bunch of stuff, and I was like, Ian's really slow. Our poor fans. And then to add on to that fact, I wasn't on episode 100. So I bet they were going through withdrawals, scratching their elbows.
You were on part of 100. Stuff. You were on Lost Moments in Comic Timing History.
Yes, but my wit, my charming wit and beautiful sounding voice was not on 100
part one. Yes, but it'll be on, part two.
But but I figured I'll record some and put them out this week. Yeah, so
cool.
They're already out. Go check them out.
Awesome. Yeah, and check them out at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing or on iTunes. All right.
And I left Sean and Jim a voicemail about them saying come check them out.
Cool.
So should be on that show too.
Bitchin'. All right. And you know what? Why not? I'm going to say it here, and you know, you could either do it or not do it. Go to our forums, you know? Let's strike some conversation. I don't want to be the only one posting, because that feels awkward.
Hey, I post.
I know.
Post. I remembered to post the forum about a thread about the BK's Bullets today.
I was very happy to see that.
I just did that while I was waiting on you. So
I should be late more often. All right. All right, and that's pretty much going to wrap it up here for episode 101, and I'd like to remind you folks that there will be an episode 102 at some point.
I got a topic for that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. What do you got?
I want to talk about why people say 1 year later sucked and 1 year later failed.
Okay. You mean, all right, for DC. Okay.
For DC.
All right, we can scrounge up a panel for that.
Because I'm curious. Because I thought it was, I loved it.
Huh. Okay.
And a lot of people don't. So I want to find some people that did and who didn't. So, and kind of discuss it.
Well, if you're out there, I mean, we probably won't wind up recording it before this episode's out. So, you know, if you want to be a part of the panel, let us know. I mean, I'm sure Daryl will at least have something to say about it. So he's always opinionated. So we can get him involved. And for that matter, probably not 102, maybe 103.
Yeah.
We're going to wind up doing the year wrap up, and we're just going to combine them this year as opposed to just doing separate DC and Marvel ones.
You're doing those 102 or 103?
Probably 103. Okay. We'll do DC and Marvel, and we'll get a couple people on and talk that. So
we could just wait till March when the Oscars come out, you know.
No, but then we'd be doing the 11 o'clock Oscars, and that would, you know, I mean that's already trademarked, and I don't want to bite off the head that feeds.
But
me.
We record at 10.
The 10 o'clock Oscars.
10 o'clock Oscars. We should change the name of our podcast. Comic Timing 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock comics. That's
timing. 10 o'clock comic timing.
Oh, my God. Wow, we've gone loopy.
There you go, Vince. Take that wood.
Oh, yes, and they'll be on episode 100 part 2, so make sure to listen to that.
After this one?
Yes. If you haven't listened to it, make sure to check it out, because it will be out before 101 comes out, whether you like it or not, okay?
Oh.
All right.
Promise?
I almost promise, yeah.
I got the day off on Friday. This will be done on Friday.
Well, it'll be scheduled to come out.
I'll post it on Wednesday. All right. So you got basically on...
I got
you
a week.
Till Friday.
I got a week and a half. I got
you
a
get this weekend. No. You got till this weekend. You get till Sunday. I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
Oh shit!
Putting down a deadline on your ass.
God damn it!
If I can put out 2 BK's Bullets and edit this show within a week, you can do it when you're sitting alone in Seattle with, you know, all alone and bored.
I work until 7 almost every day.
Yeah, but you're 3 hours behind.
What the hell does that mean for me, man?
Nothing.
Yes, I'm 3 hours behind. Thank you very much, Brent. This just in, it's still 7 o'clock for me. And if I was 3 hours behind, you'd basically be saying, yeah, so technically I'm done working at 10 every day, which means I have even less time to edit.
Oh, well.
All right. We'll get it out. We'll get it done. Get her done. And for those of you who are wondering what our con schedule is going to be like.
We don't know.
I'll
be at MegaCon.
Yeah.
I know that.
You'll be at MegaCon. I don't know where I'm going to be yet. Because yeah. I don't know when I'm done here. So if I'm still here, I'll be at Emerald City. If I'm not, then I'll be at MegaCon. Last minute, because I think Brandon's still going out there, so you should find out from him what his deal is. Because I mean, you might have a room, you know, if you want to stay there or something. Because he might have already booked for. I'm not sure. I haven't been in touch.
I don't know if you're not coming down. I may just go out and meet him for the day.
All right, cool. Well, so. Either way, I mean, we'll have interviews in one way or another, and there will definitely be the Why from the Room episode of Comic Timing at Super Show. That much
minus
is
Brent.
Given. Minus Brent. But he'll be there. He'll be there in spirit.
I wanted to come out this year, but the wedding and everything with in New York in October, and then me getting married in November. Not gonna.
You just had to go and get married.
It's just busy. It's just busy.
Just had to go and get married, didn't
hey,
you?
Hey, man, I don't have a fear of commitment like you, okay?
So what the hell are you talking about, man?
Tling, tling, tling.
Oi, oi. I've committed to this show for more than 3 years. What does that say, man, all right? And better yet, I've committed to you as a legitimate co-host, okay? After years of not being able to say the words, I said it. And I meant it.
All right.
We're rambling. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. And we're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network and the League of Comic Book Podcasts. Check them both out at comicspodcast.com and comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us iTunes reviews on iTunes. And don't forget to send us a voicemail on Skype. My username is Scary Monkey Show, so if you send us a voicemail, it will then be aired on the show, and you can let us know what you think. You could be like Daryl and send in a voicemail. Wouldn't that be nice? And that's about it. So, for Mr. Cassina, good talking to you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it has. And as always,
there's always
time for comics. Working on our last. I just started a fucking Italian. Taking screenshots in Italian. Might I remind? It's about as fun as, you know, taking screenshots in French. Translation: I don't know the fucking language, so I have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
So how do you know where to go?
Because I've got the English screenshots directly next to me. Yeah. I mean, that's really my only guide, is by having the English translation. You know, next to me, I can actually know what the fuck I'm doing. Other than that,
you don't have the guy in front of you. Come on,
what guy?
Oh, that's, you're making that one right.
Guide, not guy. Okay,
I said guide.
Oh, I thought you said guy. That's why I'm like, wait a minute, you don't have the guy in front of you. I'm like, what the fuck? What
guy? Yeah, like the actual Ash, you know. Fucking. Call his ass up and be like, bitch.
You know, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this, Brent, but Ash is not a real person.
No!
Yes, everything you've been taught is wrong.
Everything you know is a lie.
You're actually Conan the Sumerian.
Conan the Sumerian. Woo!
Who is very similar to Conan the Barbarian.
Woo-hoo!
Because they're the same person. Okay. Alright. So this is episode 101! Woohoo! Okay. Yeah, see, at least it's nice and easy to, you know, I don't have to worry about forgetting the episode number when it's 101.
Yes. So now we number 0101. Not 0011.
Yeah, well, I kind of don't see a reason to put the double zeros in there. Well, I never really saw a reason to in the first place, man. It's just,
Well, it'll always stay in order on your site.
That is
true.
HTTP. That is true, yes. You are right about that.
And if you have checked the feed lately, I did put up a BK's Bullets.
Oh, there's not much.
On Green Arrow, I did them last night, and then I did another one, and that'll be up Thursday at 8. I already scheduled it, so it's ready to go.
Bitches. Nicely done. Then put out 101 next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday? I was thinking on Friday.
What, this upcoming Friday?
Fuck yeah, if I get it done.
Yeah, but I'll probably have 100 Part 2 done by the weekend. So
All right. I'll put it up next Wednesday.
Besides, then people will think they're spoiled. It's like, wait a minute. You guys are putting out episodes on a regular basis?
Oh my God. Oh my God, man.
There's something seriously wrong here, Mr. Carter. Hey.
That's right.
You sound way too much like,
seriously, you're fucking wrong.
Man. It's all you need to do is like convert to Scientology and then you sound just like him.
what was it? sitting in my usual chair last night when I was doing this.
Uh-huh.
And I sat back and that chair squeaks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my computer room at my home and my dad's got the nice chair. I got the old shitty chair.
Oh,
so
nice.
Sitting in the shitty chair, I was like, Dad's not here. He's out of town. Why am I sitting in this one?
Yeah.
So now I'm sitting in the good one.
You know what I call the shitty chair?
We should have no squeaking.
Yeah. I call the shitty chair the toilet.
The toilet, the toilet, 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 toilet.
What the fuck?
I guess I pressed the mute button too much.
I guess you did.
My little microphone.
Okay, please don't do that.
Is it creepy?
Not only is it creepy, but it's it's going to fuck with my head because I'm thinking that my Skype is fading out on me. And B, then you're going to turn into Jason Wood, like, talking and then all of a sudden muting yourself, all right? That's not really the route you want to go, okay?
It's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I'm an hour into their three-hour wrap-up extravaganza 2009.
I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got Siege number one yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that it was added to my next shipment, so I'll wind up getting it whenever it comes next. But I got it at Xanadu over the weekend anyway.
Oh, did you read it yet?
I didn't read it yet, no. It's sitting there waiting to be read. That and Buffy.
Yeah.
Buffy. Well, sometime this weekend I got to go into Seattle again to Xanadu because Morrison's new comic comes out. It's only $1.
Was that the Vertigo thing?
Yeah.
What book is that?
Fuck. What is it? Joe the Barbarian. There we go. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like the take on the whole random kid winding up in you know, mystical land thing, only, you know, out of Morrison's head, so of course it's going to be fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's start the shucka. Alright. Make sure I'm recording here. Yay, I'm recording. Okay, alright. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to episode 1. What the hell was that? Wow.
Squeak, squeak.
Zoinks! What am I, Shaggy or am I Screech from Saved by the Bell? One or the other. Alright.
I don't know, my friend.
Goddamn, that's what happens when you don't do that for a while. Alright, 5.
Goddamn.
Goddamn! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, nice enough. Bitch! Wait, I need to end it with print it. Okay. Alright, that went well.
Yes, very good. Very good.
Yeah, I think this whole 3-hour time difference works because you're loopy and tired and I'm loopy and crazy, so.
Yeah, I think so.
Alright, you want me to shoot it over to you now or you want to wait?
Yeah, it'll download overnight. It'll be good.
All right, cool. Yeah, let me stop recording then.